In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And I said, you beware of scribes wearing long robes talking to you about giving. Did you hear that in the gospel this morning? I've received my reward. The good news is I'm not preaching about stewardship per se this morning. So, it's good to be with you today. And it's good to hear the words of this gospel. A gospel that is probably fairly well known. We often call it the story of the widow's mite. Those two little copper coins that she places in the treasury. The last of her material wealth offered to God. You know, we don't know much about this widow. Just what we heard in the gospel, right? We know she has, at this point, nothing. We know that she is a widow, which means she is left alone. She has no real mechanism to earn money. In the society that Jesus lived in, being a widow meant you were pretty powerless. No way to own property, no way to earn wealth. But we see in this woman who literally has nothing, an incredible act this morning. An act of faith, an act of trust, an act of hope. Now, why do I say that? I say that because we can see what she has chosen to do with the very last thing that she had. She didn't go and pay her cable bill. She didn't go over to Big Y or to Stop and Shop to buy one last morsel to eat. She didn't go down to Mother Mutual and try to buy an annuity with two little copper coins. She didn't put it into her 401k. What does she do with the last thing she has? She freely gives it to God. There are no pledge campaigns. There's no statements of giving coming to her from the temple. This is a free and generous act of a woman who is giving the last thing she has to God. And that is a powerful thing. And it tells us something about that unnamed widow, doesn't it? It tells us about what she values, right? This is the last bit of what she has, and so she gives it over to God. So clearly she values God. It also tells us something about what she trusts in, because I would assume that if this is the last bit of anything that you have, you're probably going to put it where you have the most hope, where you have the most trust that something good will come out of it. And what does she do? She takes it to the temple and she places it in the hands of God. This is a profound and, quite honestly, really challenging piece of scripture. And I don't know about you, but I know I want to know what happens next for this woman. What happens a few hours later after Jesus watches this? What happens the next day when she gets up? But you know what? Scripture doesn't tell us that bit of the story, does it? That part of the story is never given to us. What is given to us is that Jesus sees this act. He witnesses this act and he knows that it is powerful and that it is beautiful and that it is incredibly unusual. And he draws everybody's attention to it. Because in that small act, that woman has shown us what she cares about and what matters. Her actions and her values have merged. They match. That's a profound thing, isn't it? Having your actions and your values actually match each other. It's not the way that I at least think the world usually works. Often we say we have certain values and we act in other ways and we try to pull the two together, but it's hard to do that. So what a gift it is for us today to be seeing this woman having her actions and her values merging. Because we live in a time where we need more of that. I mean, man, oh man. Last week, we were still dealing with the shooting at the synagogue. This week, we come together with yet another mass shooting, this time in California. We talk about safety, and yet our actions don't seem to match those words, right? We wake up this morning and we hear that now it's what? Almost 30 people who have died from those wildfires in California. We talk about certainty and safety, and yet the world can rip that from us so quickly. Today we gather on Veterans Day. And as a society, we respect and we honor veterans, and yet, how many vets still live on the street? How many vets still struggle day in and day out? How many vets are forgotten and hungry? We gather today on Armistice Day, right? Today's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, the war to end all wars. And at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, armistice was made. Peace. And as a world, we believe that we would never again let that kind of conflict, that kind of hatred, that kind of violence tear us apart. And just a few years later, World War II comes. And today we gather and we know violence continues in places like Yemen, Afghanistan, places like Syria, even just our streets. We say we value peace, yet our actions don't always match those words. So to hear this widow, at her moment of greatest need, have her actions match up with her values, I think that's a gift for us. A gift for people living in the midst of tragedy and violence, in the midst of elusive peace and vets who struggle, in the midst of a world where it is hard to even figure out how we're going to make it through the day, let alone to figure out how our actions will perfectly reflect what we believe to be true. It is a gift to hear of this woman and her faith. And it is good for her to challenge us to seek a little more alignment in our own lives. I know it's not easy. It is not easy to make your day reflect what you truly believe is important, is it? There are lots of demands out there. There are lots of bills out there. There's lots that constantly pulls at us and jostles us and tells us to live in very specific ways. But I am telling you the truth, my friends. We are not made for that. We are made to live in the values of God. We are made to let the love and goodness of God be seen in our actions. We are made to be somewhat like that widow, to let what we do, what we say, how we give, reflect the truth of who we are. People made in the image and the likeness of God. So this week, I hope you'll take a little time and sit with this widow and her might and that incredible action that she took. I hope you'll sit and you'll look at her just like Jesus did and reflect on how incredible her strength was to let her actions match her values. And then I encourage you to take a moment and ask yourself how you might be able to make your life reflect a little bit more what you believe matters. That's not an easy order. If you're not sure how to do it, all right, let's find a time. Sit down for coffee and talk. Talk about the struggles of making life match what we think matters. Maybe it'll be helpful for you to look at your calendar for a week and look at your time and ask yourself if your time is reflecting what matters to you. Maybe it'd be helpful to look at your electronic e-bills and see if they're reflecting what you think is really important. I know Comcast is not that important. I'm certain of it. Look at those things, reflect, and ask that question. And then above all, invite God into the places where it doesn't seem like things are matching. I'm convinced that Jesus came to show us what it looks like when we live as we were intended to live. In him, we can see someone whose actions, words, and deeds match the truth of God. And as we seek to pattern our lives after him, we find freedom. Freedom to be who we're meant to be. Freedom to live the way we're meant to live. Freedom to have our time reflect what matters. Thanks be to God that this woman found that freedom, that her action could reflect her value. May we have the grace to do the same. Amen.